Jy luister na RSG Geldsaake met Money Web Potgoeie met gasheer Ryk van die Kerk. Vir die belangrikste sake nuus, skakel in op RSG Geldsaake.
Die parlementêre begrotingskantoor het die regering se plan om BTW te verhoog skerp veroordeel. Die kantoor funksioneer onafhanklik van die regering en is gestig om deeglike finansiële ontledings van fiskale beleid en begrotingsvoorstelle aan die parlement te gee, sodat hulle beter besluite kan neem. Die kantoor het hierdie week gewaarsku dat die beoogde BTW-verhoging met 'n halwe persentasiepunt tot 15,5% op 1 Mei en tot 16% op 1 April aanstaande jaar die ongelykheid in die land sal vererger. Dr. Dumisani Jantjie is op die lyn, hy is die direkteur van die parlementêre beleggingskantoor. Dumisani, thank you so much for your time. I must say, I wasn't aware of the Parliamentary Budget Office until I saw the announcement earlier this week. Tell us about this office and its mandate.
Good evening, Rick and colleagues. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And I'm glad that this time has made the office to be known. Parliamentary Budget Office is really an entity that provides an independent and objective advisory to Parliament. So it's really an entity that is established by Parliament to advise Parliament on budget issues. You know, our primary role is to provide an expert advice on fiscal and economic matters, particularly when you look at the budget and related matters as presented by the government. What we do, we analyze the budget proposals, assess their potential impact, and provide parliamentarians with information they need to make informed decisions, you know. Mm-hmm. And we aim to enhance fiscal transparency, accountability, ensuring that budget decisions are really grounded within the sound economic principles and serve the best interests of Africans. Essentially, what we see our role a lot of times when we explain in a very simple way, is really to bridge, we see ourselves as a bridge, the gap between the complex economic data and legislative process. Specifically, our approach involves assessing the potential impact of the budget, you know, when looking at what we want to realize in NDP, midterm development, you know, how are those priorities are realized by a budget. And then we advise members to say, look, this budget will lead us to realizing these priorities and quickly so, and how quick we can get them. But also, we do flag, say, actually, some of these proposals are likely to adversely lead to us dragging longer time to achieve these socio-economic or economic development strategies in particular. So that's in a nutshell, right?
Who appoints the functionaries and what powers of authority does the office have? Can you only express an opinion or can you go beyond that?
Look, I think it's very interesting because the office itself is established by law. The law is called Money Bills Amendment and Procedures and Related Matters Act. Really, it's an act that, in terms of the Constitution's guide Parliament on how to process the budgets, you know. So the act gives the office authority to conduct independent research and analysis where we have a clear mandate to investigate and evaluate fiscal and economic implications of the budget. We get power to request information from any entity of government. We provide expert advice to specific committees and recommend to say these are the things they need to consider. We make our findings public. We publish our findings. We put it out there, like you're able to pick it up with your colleagues. And you know, in a way, it enables public scrutiny on the budget process, in particular, like we're doing now. But also supports the committees, other committees widely within the institution, Parliament as a whole. But I think it is important to know that the Parliamentary Budget Office does not have an executive authority, but rather function as an analytic and advisory entity. Our powers really lies in the quality and independence of our analysis, which informs the parliamentary process in particular. Ultimately, the as I said, it's a bit interesting, is that the houses have to make decisions on the fiscal policy. Of course, they take into account our advisory. That is why, most, you know, when the budget is presented, they invite us to say, hey, Parliamentary Budget Office, advise us on this budget that's been presented. Yeah. And in a way, when they finalize, they present the report in the houses, these committees, they would have taken into account. And you will see in the report, they say, budget office have said these issues we need to consider. And if you consider those issues, and these are the decisions that we make. So that's really how we fit into the whole budget process within the institution.
We're currently having significant issues within the government of national unity, specifically due to the VAT hike, or the proposed VAT hike, which should kick in on 1 May. Did you make this report available to members of the committees who discussed the fiscal framework and the budget, and to parliamentarians, members of parliaments, before they voted on that fiscal framework?
Yes, yes, we did. What normally happens that when the minister presents on the 25th, like on the 12th, as he did last month, we're given 7 days to present fiscal framework views and analysis in that particular. So we did give that. In particular, then the next stage will be the Division of Revenue, where we'll give presentations. Like the report that you picked up during this week was related to the Division of Revenue itself. And then in a few weeks' time, we'll be now looking at the budget votes and appropriations in particular. So our role really kickstarts once the minister presents, our role kickstarts in there, you know, where we provide those deep analysis, substantive analysis, where we look at, examine the proposals concerning their economic impact, sustainability, alignment with national priorities, but also analyze the macroeconomic assumptions, revenue forecasts, and expenditure allocations, and assess their potential impact in various sectors and also to the population groups as well. So we do actually go deeper in that. So we have presented those analyses in particular as well this time around. So regarding the... Okay, go ahead.
No, it doesn't seem like they've taken it seriously, because it seems like it was more a political vote than an economic vote. But the issue is VAT, and you also pronounced where you were very almost scathing about the proposed VAT hike, because it will increase inequality in South Africa. Just quickly, what are your key concerns about the VAT hike, and do you have any proposals of where the fiscus could get money elsewhere to, you know, plug the fiscal gap?
We did a report around that, but maybe again, let me take another step quick back to say, obviously, ultimately, we recognize that members of parliament are the one who make decisions on policies, you know, but they have to take into account these views. So we wouldn't put them down to say, look, this is what we say you must do, but we do provide very credible work. But regarding the VAT itself, we express several concerns, you know, for several reasons in particular. And then primarily, our analysis indicated that, you know, an increase in VAT would disproportionately affect low-income households in particular. It's important to remember that this impact isn't only limited to food items. I think that's another point we wanted to highlight. It's not only food items. It extends all goods and services within the economy in particular. And I think furthermore, just not only that, we also raise concern about the potential impact of the personal income tax bracket creep, which, you know, it's a stealth tax where it will, you know, more like to be more burdened for working low-income households. What we've seen over the years, Rake, is that government often has always protected the lower brackets, whereby they will be adjusted for inflation, the tax brackets, and then the upper ones never get, you know, doesn't get affected, because the assumption is that it's more for those who can afford. Now, this time we didn't see that not happening throughout. Now, these increases are likely to contradict, in our analysis, one of the midterm development priorities to reduce poverty and address the cost of living. While, you know, Drake, the PBO recognized the need for additional revenue to support macroeconomic policy projections and realize the strategy midterm development plan. Our analysis suggested that alternative revenue sources should have been identified in particular. And further, we raised questions around about the timing, you know, and necessity of the VAT hike around this time, given the current economic climate. It's important to remember that tax policy has, you know, beyond revenue raising mechanism objectives, it is a social object. It has a social objectives instrument. In particular, we must ensure that it doesn't exaggerate socioeconomic issues. Therefore, we are examining evaluation of all potential revenue sources, prioritizing those that minimize the burden on vulnerable populations and promote. You know, so we
that's our analysis. Dumisani, we'll have to leave it there. Time is not on our side. Dit was Dr. Dumisani Jantjies, hy is direkteur van die parlementêre begrotingskantoor.
Jy het geluister na RSG Geldsaake met Moneyweb Potgoede elke weeksdag om 7 na middag. Vir meer Moneyweb Potgoede, besoek moneyweb.co.za of laai die toepassing af en volg Moneyweb News om dagliks op hoogte te bly.